Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shemir Salashan class learning. We are a couple weeks away from Yom Tov of Chanukah, Be'ezrat Hashem. Let us begin to Tefillah Al HaDibur, please. It's on the inside front flap, or it's on the WhatsApp icon, on the group chat. Ribono Shel Olam, Yei Ratzon Lefanecha, Racham Lechanan, Shetizakeni Hayim, Lechol Yom, Lishmer Pi, Lishani Bilashan Har, Rechidus. Ezarim Ledaber Filal Yishyachid, Lechol Shekein HaKlaisha, O Achelik Mehem, Lakosh Kane Mislam Amidosov Shall Kosh Barhu, Vazarm Dabra de Reshekar, Hanufa, Mechlokas, Kaas, Gaiva, Ona Astvarim, Habanas Panim, Reitsonis Vichodibar Asur, Vizakinishlo Dabar, Kim Dabar Hatsarich, Yinani Gufi Venafshi, Vyukama Saivadibulai, the Shem Shemai, Amen Vamein. We are learning the Zechron, the Yudhoi Nishmas, Tzvi Gershon, Alavasham, Banyol Vachana, May the Nisham have a continuous Aliyah. This was not only of the Divrei Torah we will share, but of this important avoda, Kanshmer Salashan. Also, as a schos aliyah and a shaman for Zal Vuf, by Nishai Lavasham, may the Nishama have an aliyah, with your permission for Besoros Tovos and Refus for Bracha Vigaya, Bas Rachel Gita. Okay, so let us get into our learning, please. I marked where we are up to. Let me just find it. Here we are. Okay. So we are in Perek Yudalad of the Sefer, and we are talking about Onas Dvarim, which is known as verbal oppression, which falls under the inyan of Shmir Salashan. Right, it's also to verbally oppress. We spoke about going into stores. You're not allowed to window shop in a Jewish-owned store if you have no intention of buying. I remember we said last time, some achokas, if you don't have money or you don't want to buy it. Okay, so we're on the top of page 176. We're actually in the middle of the article from Rabbi Daniel Feldman. I just want to review where we're up to so we're on the same page, pun intended. And then I'm going to go back to the article because I didn't get to finish it last time. And he's speaking about the halachos of reparation. Ooh, I almost spilled my tea. He's speaking for the halachos of reparation for Shmir Salashan. If you harm somebody with your words and with Lashon Hara, how do you do teshuva? And it's not so simple that you can easily do teshuva, or that you can do teshuva at all. Because if you ask their forgiveness, Rabbi Shlomo Salanter says, then you're going to cause them more pain. So what have you done? You've used your words to cause them pain. Okay, so let's go. We're just going to go to the beginning of page 176, so I don't start in the middle of the page, and we all know where we're up to. Od Ar Musham. The Gemara also says in the Masechet Bava Metzia, Gado Onas Tvarim Me'onanas Mamon. The verbal oppression is worse than financial oppression. Because when it comes to verbal oppression, hurting someone with your words, the Pasuk says you shall revere God. The Pasuk only says you shall revere God by those in Yanim where only the Ribono Shel Olam knows. And by Onas Mamon, it does not say V'yareisim Elokecha, so it teaches you that Onas Tvarim is a much more severe degree.
What?
One second, please. No. Sorry about that. Okay. The old zeb begufo zeb mono. Another thing is that when it comes to nas devarim, you're actually hurting the person, their very essence themselves. When it comes to financial oppression, you're taking advantage of their money. It's not good, it's not recommended, it's an aveira. Don't do it, but you're not hurting their very essence of who they are. Vizel niton lihishavon, vizel lo niton lihishavon. And this is where we're up to, which we use for the point of departure to go into Rabbi Daniel Feldman's article. Vizel niton lihishavon. You could return money. You could return the money that you stole. How could you take back the words that you said that caused somebody so much anguish and pain? You could say, I'm sorry. The words still cause them anguish and pain. They could even say, I forgive you. And the words still cause them anguish and pain. And like we know, painful words are something we remember forever. And therefore the Gemara says, how can you rectify Ona'as Devarim? But you can rectify Ona'as Mamon. So I'm going back to, not going to read the whole article again, only where we left off last time. It's an article brought by Daniel Z. Feldman, who's one of the YU Rosh Yeshivos. He's also the Rav of Congregation Or Sa'adja in Teaneck, New Jersey. He's also Mechaber's farm, of which I have quite a number of them. Okay, so we're in the middle of this article. This idea that can you rectify and repair, can you do teshuva for Ona'as Devarim and for Lashon Hara? And it's not so simple. And Rabbi Feldman is quoting a great machlokes between Rav Yisrael Salanter and the Chofetz Chaim. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, despite the high esteem in which he held the Chofetz Chaim, he declined to give a written approbation and endorsement to the Sefer Chofetz Chaim because he agreed with the work's general message, but there was one ruling he felt he could not give a hashkama to the book. What is this single controversial ruling? The question of apology and reconciliation following an instance of Lashon Hara. Can you apologize? Can there be reconciliation? The Gemara teaches repentance is ineffective for offenses committed against another person, unless apology is made to the victim and forgiveness is obtained. As a general rule, the apology is in the hands of the offender. You could apologize. However, Lashon Hara presents a unique challenge. It is usually expected that in apologizing, you specify the offense for which you are apologizing for. Not just a general, confession of, do you forgive me? Often the hurtful comments have been made outside the presence of the subject, who is blissfully ignorant. Now, you want to now apologize, would mean that you are inflicting emotional pain on the person who has been the victim of malicious gossip. Is this warranted? To Rabbi Shaul Salanter, the answer was clear. He's known as like the father of the Muslim, but here we're talking about a halacha question. Can you apologize if the victim doesn't know what you did? And so they are blissfully ignorant. If they know what you did and harm came to them, so that's a different story, but let's say they don't know. So Rabbi Shaul Salanter, the answer was clear. The Torah's strong prohibition against causing emotional suffering, which is where we're up to, onas dvarim causes emotional suffering. Chazal say, zeh nitan lehishavan. With financial suffering, you can rectify and repair. With emotional suffering, you cannot rectify and repair. The Torah's prohibition against causing emotional suffering is the priority. The offender would have to find some other way to alleviate his conscience and set things right. But, says Rabbi Shaul Salanter, to do so at the expense of the victim is not acceptable. According to the Chofetz Chaim, the issue is somewhat more complicated, but because of this, Rabbi Shaul Salanter will not give his approbation to the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, because he feels so strongly that you cannot apologize for what you've done. You're just going to cause him more pain. So if you want to apologize for causing pain with words, so what are you doing? You're apologizing and causing them pain with words. If gossip was ineffectual, says the Chofetz Chaim, causing no apparent damage to the subject, the Chofetz Chaim agreed there's little to be gained by informing the subject in order to gain forgiveness. So if it was ineffectual gossip, there was no damage to the subject. The Chofetz Chaim also felt that in order to obtain forgiveness, it's not necessary. However, if there was indeed harm, if there was indeed harm inflicted by speech, it would then be necessary to tell the subject what had been done and to apologize. Rabbi Shaul Salanter found this ruling so objectionable, he refused to associate his name with the entire book, despite its immense overall value. If seeking mechila, continues Rabbi Feldman, and specifying the offense is indeed contraindicated, so what are you supposed to do? Options may still exist, including asking for general forgiveness, without specifying a particular wrongdoing. However, Rabbi Feldman writes, this attends to arouse suspicion. Someone comes to you and they say, listen, do you forgive me for what I did? What's the first thing you're thinking? What did you do? And why do you need forgiveness? And that's often what we say. This arouses suspicion. And some note, this is a situation that is less than ideal. However, as Yom Kippur draw near, remember this was in Yom Torah to go before the Amim Noraim. As Yom Kippur draws near, take that one. As Yom Kippur draws near, many approach all of their friends and associates and ask for forgiveness by rote, without identifying, and this is very common, any specific offense. While this falls short of the standard normal required for such apologies, in the case of Lashon Hara, it might be preferable. It's footnoted. Everything, the whole article is footnoted with his sources. He tells you where to look. Okay? Oh, this is interesting. Rav Moshe Sternbach, that of the Erech Haredis, the guy that of the Erech Haredis, he says, it should be a request along the lines of, perhaps I spoke Lashon Hara about you, but I don't remember exactly, without providing further details. So in other words, in this case, when you ask Mechil for Lashon Hara, and saying the words might cause more pain, in this case, it might be more appropriate to give a vague apology than a proper detailed apology, because a detailed apology might cause more harm. By the way, this isn't only true for before Yom Kippur. If we know that we cause someone harm with our words, if you cause someone harm and something came of it, you have to address it. you want to do teshuvah. You don't have to wait for, it's brought down in the book, Days of All, Days of Joy. Meir Twersky Shlita. He says, everybody thinks about teshuvah from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. What about teshuvah from Yom Kippur to Rosh Hashanah? So if we know we harm somebody with our words, I don't have to wait till Elul, till Tishrei to do teshuvah. So in the case of causing harm with words, it might be preferable to be vague, even though a vague apology is not recommended. In this case, it actually might be. However, some argue this may be effective only when the gossip is routine. If the Lashon Hara was extensive and egregious, it is harder to assume the subject is able to show any kind of meaningful forgiveness. If it was extensive, it is harder to assume the subject is able to issue any kind of meaningful forgiveness. So what's the moral of the story? Be careful and preempt. Once you speak the words, you've gotten yourself into a lot of trouble. You've caused someone a lot of pain. And it's very hard to ask for forgiveness and to do teshuvah. By the way, I'm not reading the whole article. The Torah prescribes that one who has been afflicted with tzara'as, I'm not reading the whole article, you probably find it online on my Torah. Excuse me. The Torah prescribes that one who has been afflicted with tzara'as, okay, listen, this is very interesting, okay, in the parashas of Tazria and Mitzora and Vayikra, Perek Yud Gimel, and Yudalad, one who has been afflicted with tzara'as and is assumed to be guilty of speaking Lashon Hara must be separated from the Jewish encampment. We know he goes Badad Yeshev, Michutza Machana Moshevah. He has to go outside of all three camps, Machana Shechina, Leviya, and Yisrael. He has to be separated from everybody. The Gemara explains the appropriateness of this measure. The gossiper separated people from each other through harmful speech. That's what harmful speech does. It causes a divide, it causes a wedge between people to people. Instead of enhancing Ahava Shechina, it increases Sina Shechina. If we increase Sina Shechina with our words, we are extending the time that the Beis Hamikdash lays in ruins. The Talmud explains the appropriateness of this measure by noting the gossiper separated people from people through harmful speech. It is fitting he should be separated from the community as a whole. The Gemara also identifies, this is very interesting, this is extremely interesting, I had never seen this before, this year. The Gemara, however, identifies another atonement for Lashon Hara. If you remember, we've spoken about him past years, not recently, but when you come up to the Mishkan, the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol each atone for a different sin. The word begadim, begad, is from the word bogade, trespass or treason. Each of the begadim atones for a different trespass or treason, a different sin that a person did. So which one, if you remember, we spoke about in the past, atones for the sin of Lashon Hara? That's the Me'il. Remember the Me'il, the blue cloak with the bells and the pomegranates on the bottom? I could only see one person. I know everyone else is behind boxes. Do you remember? Yeah, okay, good. So the Me'il was fitted with bells and pomegranates. The bells made noise. They had a little golden copper. The pomegranates were silent. And it shows us that there are times to be silent and times to speak. Thus, an item which makes sound, utilized in the service of God, a kohen who served mechusar begadim was chayim misar, these clothing were not optional, they were an integral part of avodas Hashem, is invoked to atone for a transgression that involved sound. So let the me'il, which emits sound, come by the bells, the golden bells, come and atone for a sin that involved sound. So now you see that you have two atonements. One is he sent out of the camp, at times the mitzvah sent out of the camp. Another atonement for Lashon Hara, and of course I'm going back to temple times. Okay, today we don't send people out of the camp, and we don't have three camps, and we don't send them out of the camp, and perhaps we would be much more conscious of our words if we actually sent them out of the camps, but we don't have a Kohen Gadol, and we don't have a Me'il. However, the Gemara states the affliction, tzara'as, and the priestly coat, interesting, correspond to two different types of Lashon Hara. The tzara'as affliction corresponds to one type of Lashon Hara, I never saw this before, and the me'il of the Kohen Gadol, the entirely tcheles cloak with the bells and pomegranates, atones for a different type of Lashon Hara. The affliction of tzara'as and subsequent sending out of the three camps is visited upon one who has inflicted damage through his negative speech. So if you inflicted damage, I don't know, someone lost their job, you caused chas v'shalom a family machokas, you caused hatred between people, you cause someone to lose all the money by onas dvarim, whatever it is. If you caused damage through negative speech, the person is afflicted with tsaras and sent out of the three camps. If, however, no harm has actually taken place, so the victim doesn't know you spoke about them, then the speech is atoned for by the coat, by the cloak. There's a very interesting footnote. The Gemara also mentions another source of atonement for Lashon Hara, and that is the ketores. Every day in the Beis HaMikdash, tied to the lighting of the menorah, in the Mishkan Sas Beis HaMikdash, they offer the ketores twice a day, in the morning and the evening, on the Golden Mizbeach. The Gemara mentions another source for atonement of Lashon Hara is the incense, and suggests the coat, the me'il, atones for Lashon Hara spoken in public, and the incense spices, the ketores, atone for Lashon Hara spoken in private. I also thought that that was very interesting. That is the incense, when the Kohen lights the incense, there's not allowed to be anyone in the Kodesh with him. It's a total private service. There's not allowed to be anyone there. In the morning when he cleans the lamps of the menorah, he lights the ketores. And in the evening when he lights the lamps of the menorah, he offers the ketores. When the Kohen offers the ketores, there's not allowed to be anyone in. So it's a private service. So the Gemara suggests that the cloak, the meal, which makes noise, it's a public sound, atones for Lashon Hara spoken in public, and the incense atones for that spoken in private. We learned a little while ago about in the presence of three, Ba'api Telesa. If you remember, that's considered public. Okay, going back to the article, that was the footnote. This distinction, says Rabbi Feldman, is not a quantitative one. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. The distinction between the tzara'as and the mi'io, tzara'as being you caused harm with your words, therefore you're afflicted with tzara'as and sent out of the camps. The mi'io being you didn't cause harm with your words, and the mi'io atones. The distinction between these two atonements, tzara'as, banishment, and the cloak, is not a quantitative one. It's not about quantity, but a qualitative one. It's about quality. One who has not actually inflicted harm through his negative speech has committed a transgression that's primarily a corruption of his own personality. So let's say the person, the victim, doesn't know. Do you think you got off easy? They never found out? Nothing happened. Is it true that nothing happened? What happened is that you corrupted your very core of your personality. It might be that the victim doesn't know. Nothing happened to them. But what about your neshama? What about what happened to you? What about what it says about you, a person, that does say you speak about somebody else? Even if they weren't harmed, you were harmed. One who has not actually inflicted harm through his negative speech, as Rabbi Feldman, has committed a transgression that's a corruption of his own personality. You damaged yourself. You made yourself into a despicable person. It's temporary. You could try and do teshuvah, but what about the damage you did to yourself? Thus, the symbolism, last sentences of this article, expressed through the coat. The symbolism expressed through the coat. Remember, the me'il is when you did not cause harm to others, is an appropriate tool to adjust the mental attitude required for internal change. It's something he wears on himself. It's your own garment. It indicates that this person needs to do teshuva for themselves. Even if you didn't harm anybody else, the me'il represents the need for personal repair and rectification because of the damage you did to your own soul. One who has actually injected divisiveness into the community, from the word division, however, is in need of the more functionally oriented exile that is provoked by the affliction of tzaras. So it's interesting that these two atonements, tzara as banishment, is when you have caused harm with your words. Me'il, bells and pomegranates, is when you have not caused harm with your words. Actually, let me rectify that. When you have not caused harm to others with your words. The me'il therefore represents personal rectification. You have to work on improving your own self. It's a cloak the Kohen Gadol wears upon himself. The banishment is much more public. Everyone knows. You have to leave the tent. You have to go sit outside. You have to stand at the crossroads and you have to call out about yourself. Tamei, tamei yikra. It's not private. When you cause damage to others, which moves into the public sphere, so the punishment is also likewise public as well. Okay, so it's not so partial. Let's go back to the Sefer. The O, last sentence we just read, Zeh begufo, onas mamon, is you, I'm sorry, onas devarim, is you harm someone's essence. You hurt their self-confidence. You hurt their internal sense of self. You destroyed a person, begufo. Vizabimamoto. Okay, it's bad. You shouldn't steal someone's money. You shouldn't take financial oppression, but you can pay it back. You could rectify, repair. You could do teshuva hishavon. Shin bet is the root. You could do teshuva easily and return money. It's not so simple to do teshuva for lashon hara, and that's why we went to this very halachic article, which teaches us very clearly that it's taka, not so simple to do teshuva when you spoke lashon hara and harm somebody else. Od amru b'gemara. Furthermore, the gemara says in Papa Metzia, la'olam yehe adam zahir ba'ona'as ishto. A person should always be on guard when it comes to verbal oppression of his wife, of his spouse, his wife. Shemitoch shudimasa mitsuya, because her tears are easily found. A woman by nature is more emotional than a man. This is in, chas v'sham, anti-woman or insulting woman, God forbid. By nature, that's how Hashem made a woman. She's more emotional than a man. She's more sensitive than a man. And therefore, the Gemara says, "Lo'ol mihe adam zayir bonas ishto." So, onas dvarim is not only for the people outside, not only for the shopkeeper, it's not only for the person in the supermarket, it's not only for your friend in shul, it's not only for your neighbor, it's not only the person who sat next to at the wedding. What about inside your house? Shemitoch shudim asa mitzuya, because her tears are easily found. Onasa krova, her ona'a, her affliction is very close, meaning it's easy to cause her pain through words. Ad amu, furthermore, the Gemara says, kol sharim ninalim chutz mishar ona. All the gates in heaven are closed, except for the gaze of the oppressed. So when someone is verbally oppressed, when they call out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, those tefillos go straight up. The gate of ona is not locked. And woe unto the one who is the source of that verbal oppression. Because when that person calls out, Ribbono Shel Olam is very quick to listen. Like the pasuk says, Hinei Hashem nitzav al chomas anach ubiyado anach. Behold, Hashem is standing on the wall of oppression or abuse, and in his hand is the means to collect payment from those who oppress others. I'm going to quote now from Torah of Victor, Rav Victor Miller, Parshas Bahar. We did some of this a couple of months ago. The part that I'm reading now is new, and we never did it before. Okay, it's a conscious of Torah of Victor, Rav Victor Miller, Bahar, and it's called Speak with Care. And now specifically, he is going to speak about, which is what the Sefer just called the Gemara, between husband and wife. It's so easy to gain Olam Haba, says Rav Victor Miller Zatzal, if a man would make it a principle once in a while to give his wife a compliment. That's the outcry of very many women. He never once gave me a compliment. Now the husband is an honest man. He's not a superficial fellow. He's not a superficial fellow. And he thinks it's ridiculous. He thinks she knows I appreciate everything. I have to say it. And because he is begrudging in words, his life goes by with lost opportunity. I remember that I told you at the time, I was very moved. My father's first cousin's wife was Nifteres. I mentioned this at the time. I think it's a year and a half ago now. Brenda Klein. She was a very beloved math teacher in Brooklyn in the Beis Yaakov. She was an exceptional woman. She loved coming to families. Simchas, the families were very, very close. My father's first cousin. So Brenda passed away very quickly. She was a very special person. She was incredible. But something, her, if anyone knew her, you might know her. She was a teacher, a very beloved math teacher for decades. And she was always such a presence at our smachot. They loved to come. So at the Levaya, her husband, Shrili, my father's first cousin, the families were so close. After the Holocaust, there was no family. Whatever family there was, they grew up together in Toronto, Shrili and his brother, Meshmar Mechayla Vashalem, and my father's first cousins. So the families maintained very close kasher. So at the Levaya, Shrili said, he stood up and he asked Mechila Brenda, said, I asked Mechila for anything I said that I should not have said, and for anything I didn't say that I should have said. Asked Mechila for anything I said that I should not have said, and for anything I didn't say that I should have said. Victor Miller says, sometimes a person thinks, why do I have to compliment my wife? I'm not saying this was the case of Shirley and Brenda Chas v'Shalom, but I'm just using it as an example. We have to be so aware. It's not just about what we say. It's about holding back from positive words. Why do we hold back? Why do we have to be stingy with compliments? Build a person up with your words. Don't just be neutral. Koach HaDibor is to use our words for the positive. It's very important to keep in mind that you have a whole treasury of gold that costs you nothing to share. And your wife is right there. And she's ready and willing to hear encouragement from you. What did we read in the Sefer? La'olam yehe adam zahir ba'onas ishto. Shemitoch shudimasa metzuya onasa krova. The Sefer, the Chofetz Chaim, is where they're quoting the Gemara. The person has to be very, very careful, zahir, on guard, when it comes to verbal impression of his wife. Because she's more emotional and her tears are easily found, it's very easy to cause her ona with negative words. And all the gates are locked, except for the gate of Onah. Woe unto the one who is on the giving end of that Onah. So Victor Miller says, it's very important to keep in mind, you have a whole treasury of gold. Costs you nothing to share. And your wife is right there. And she's willing and ready to hear encouragement from you. Your poor wife, after a day in the hot kitchen, after hours of taking care of the children, she's waiting for a kind word. And if you'd be willing to donate one or two words of encouragement, you don't know what you can accomplish. When you say, I see you're working very hard to bring a Shabbos Kodesh, what a big mitzvah to be involved with all day. Say something like that. Encourage her. And it's not just true between husband and wife. Our words should not be only neutral. That's the first step. To move away from Onah, and Lashon Hara, and Mechilos, and Leitzanos, and Ka'as, and Gaiva, Knes. It's not enough, really, though, we're learning to be neutral. The opposite of Onah Stvarim would be Ne'imas Stvarim. Pleasantness with words. Shalom bidvar. It's interesting. It reminds me of Avram and Sarah in Parshas Lach Lecha. When they're going down to Egypt in Perek Yud-Beis, Avram gives Sarah a compliment. Ata yadati ki sheifa mara at. Mash says, mitoch maiseb shebeshnehem. We saw on the river, she's very beautiful. But it's so interesting. Don't you think that the Torah goes out of the way to tell me Avram complimented his wife? You understand? Isn't that strange? A lot happened in the life of Avram, that Kedah, I'm going out of order, being thrown in the Kibshana Ish, I'm totally going out of order, Lachacham, my Artzacha, the war of the four kings and the five kings, the Brisbane of Basarim, the birth of Yitzchak. What happened? Why do you need to include the fact that he complimented his wife? Just the most basic level of the Pshat. He said to her, you're a very beautiful woman. Isn't that powerful? The Torah wanted to include. The Torah not wanted, the Torah did include. A kind word between husband and wife, the father and the founder of the Ummah Yisraelis, and Sari Imenu. The teachers, the person is to use their words to build up. They're going down to Egypt, and he says to her, wow, you're a very beautiful woman. That's recorded for posterity in the Torah. Nevuah shehutzu chuladaris nechtava, v'sheinu hutzu chuladaris eina nechtava, Maseches Megillah. Yes, it's important to know. It's important not only that he pitched her tent first, not only that he said, Sanuahi, she's in the Ohel, to the Malachim. But give her a compliment. Say something nice to her. So that's the tone. It teaches us how people should be in the home between each other. I see you're working very hard to bring a Shabbos Kodesh, you could say to your wife. What a big mitzvah to be involved with this all day. Say something like that. Encourage her. With a thoughtful, kind word, a thoughtful, kind word, you can gain success in every encounter with your wife. And then Rav Miller says, not only with your wife. Every person you meet is an opportunity. Now he points out something very interesting. You have to realize that a man is measured. How's a man judged? By how many people he encounters successfully. The whole day we're encountering people. When we encounter people successfully, that's how we're judged. It pays to think about that, says Rav Avigdor Miller. Make a chashbon and nefesh about that. How many people did I encounter successfully? And you start thinking, in the morning you went to the base medrash to pray. You encountered somebody on the way, and then in the synagogue you encountered a few people. You didn't speak to most of them, maybe one or two. And then you went home for breakfast. You encountered your son, who was on the way out the door to yeshiva. Then you ran to the corner to catch the bus. So they encountered the bus driver. It's also an encounter. And then in the place where you work, or the havdil, if you're in the yeshiva, you bump into a few people. See how successful you were with these 30, 40, 50 encounters. Were you successful in the important avoda of mirapei lashon, healing with your tongue? Every person you encounter, you have to ask yourself, Was I successful in Mira Pe Lashon? Or did you chas v'sham use your tongue for the opposite? For Ona Ashtvar, which is exactly what the Chavetz Chaim is speaking about, where we're up to in the Sefer. Verbal oppression. You're being tested all day, every day. Quote, with inyanim of speech. Every human being is a test. And the more people you encounter, the more tests you have. Remember the story about Henny Machlis? Rabbi Machlis actually told us over at Galvaya. Her Yirtzeh was in Chashon, I believe. That there was a man who loved Henny's homemade holy pizza. Remember this? And Henny finally taught him how to make it so he could make it himself. And one night there was a knock on their bedroom door. Not the front door that was never locked. Their bedroom door. It was the middle of the night. And it was the man, and he's knocking on the door. And he said, I forgot how to make the homemade pizza. Could you teach me? All right, Machlis was livid. It's brought down the biography. Machlis was so angry. He said, this is enough. Knocking the bedroom door in the middle of the night for making homemade holy pizza. It was like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said to Rabbi Machlis, it's a test. It's a test. She got up and she showed him how to make the homemade holy pizza. Obviously, maybe not from you. She was on a very different level from me. Light years away. But every person we encounter is a test in the way we speak to those people. Says Rav Victor Miller, you're being tested all day. Is it Merah Pelashon or Ona Estvarim? Every human being is a test, and the more people you encounter, the more tests you have. Now you have to know, he says, he gives a chiddush. Your wife is a lot of people. You don't have one wife, don't panic. Even after the Chirim de Rabbeinu Gershon, it's not one wife. We're actually talking about multiple wives at the Shabbos table because of Yaakov Avinu. You don't have one wife. Even after Chirim de Rabbeinu Gershon, it's not one wife. But many times you encounter your wife, add up to many people. So every time you have an interaction with your spouse, says Rav Victor Miller, because then he says the same thing with your husband. Every time you have an interaction with your spouse, count it as another encounter, another person. Quote, each encounter is another opportunity, another test. The 30 times in one evening that you had maso matan, business dealings, a talk, exchange of words between spouses, that's 30 encounters. It's like 30 different people. And therefore, with whom is it more frequently possible to utilize your tongue for chesed than a husband to a wife and a wife to a husband? They see each other more than anybody else. That difference doesn't make if it's your wife or your neighbor or another neighbor. Your wife is like 100 neighbors. Each encounter with your spouse is a new test. So when we talk about Shmiras HaLashon, we're definitely not talking about only the people on the street, the Baal Simcha, the neighbor, whatever. What about in your home? What does the Gemara say? Ba'olam yeheh adam zahir ba'onas ishto. Shem yitoch shem yidosan mitzuya, dim asan mitzuya onas akrova. Sing her praises, says Rav Victor Miller. And therefore you should say good words when your wife cooks you supper. It's not enough to be neutral. It's amazing that the Torah includes a compliment between Aram and Sarah. We got the drash. He saw her in the river, they were very tsnias, he didn't want the Egyptians to take her, he saw her through the Egyptians' eyes, just the pshar of Cooperman from Mechala. He was there when I was in Mechala. So of Cooperman would say, there has to be a pshar, there's an interpretation of pshar of the psukim, you can't ignore the pshar, it's not only the drash. Avram compliments his wife. And therefore you should say good words when your wife cooks for supper. Tell her it's a good supper. Usually it's good, and even if it's not, anyway you should say it's a good supper. You know, encouraging. That is Rav Victor Miller. I don't know if you read these. He's very also funny. I don't think he means to be funny, but sometimes you smile from how he says it over. And even if it's not a good supper, still tell her it's a good supper. You know, encouraging it. So then you could say, oh, midva shaker terchak. No. Shina b'davar v'pnei ha-shalom. The Baal Shem changed the words for shalom. The brothers changed the words of shalom because of shalom to Yosef. No. Shina b'davar v'pnei ha-shalom. You might think it's nothing. It's not nothing. It's everything. Exclamation mark. Choose your words, compliments, and praises. When your wife gives you something to eat, that's an encounter. It's an opportunity. When you walk into the house, say how nice and clean the house is. Or say you're an expert manager, a good balabusta. Marriage advice. So the Gemara says, from time to time, tell your wife she's an eshes chaya. It doesn't cost money to show appreciation of the people in your home. The human being is capable of finding the right expression, and that's your job. Look for ways to compliment your wife. Sing her praises, not once. Investigate, find what to praise. That's your function. I have a Bereshis right here. One for her. It's amazing. Just amazing. We're going down to Egypt. Vayihi kasher hikriv lavo mitzrayma. Lazen their kaimis go down to Egypt. Yer beiz yer aleph. Vayomer el Sarai ishto. Avim said to Sarai, his wife, hine na yadad dikiyusha yifa mara. Behold, I know you are a very beautiful woman. It's amazing. Yes, Rashi says different pshatim, but the pshat is that Avram included, the Torah included a compliment between Avram and Sarah. How much does it cost to compliment somebody? Don't be stingy with your words. They shouldn't be in words of harm. They also shouldn't be neutral or learning. Sometimes it's worth it to give little presents. Some husbands don't have the knack of expressing themselves. They have to learn, they have to practice. Even if it sounds strange in the beginning, keep at it. But sometimes, until you get the hang of it, buy little gifts. If you have trouble expressing yourself, one of the best things a husband can do is by frequently buying a smart article, an inexpensive gift, bring it home for your wife. And this is what the Gemara is telling us. The Jewish home ensures the continuity of Knesset Yisrael, the sanctity of the Jewish home. The Torah of the Jewish home. Shalom bayis in the Jewish home. We know Ish and Isha. If they are together, the Shechina Shrei Beinayim. And if Chas V'Shalom they're not together, then Eish Ochan. They make sure to bring the Shechina. How? By appreciating the person that God gave you to spend your life. Onas Dvarim causes tremendous harm. You have to be very careful, the Gemara says. Don't verbally oppress your wife. Padam of Vigdam says, wives to their husbands too. Your husband maybe puts on a facade, but really he craves Torah's chasad al lishona. It's Mishlei 31, what we call the Ishas Chaya. The Torah of kindness upon her tongue. So your poor husband, when he comes home tired from a day in the office or in his shop, he has so much friction with the customers, with the supervisors, with the competitors. Maybe the boss was mean to him that day. If you're a wise wife, you greet him with nice words. Chaim, I'm glad to see you. I made a nice supper for you today. I'm going to quote, it's funny he uses the name Chaim, not intentional. Obviously, I want to quote from Rebbetzin Kanievsky biography. So what he just said is that the husband craves Torah's chesed al lashona. Just like the Mara says, he has to be careful not to cause onas dvarim to his wife. Her tears are easily found. It's a very big aveira, unlikely though. And how do you do teshuvah for onas dvarim and lashon hara? It's not so simple, logically. When we saw a salander felt, you can't just ask mechila. It's a big, big problem. That was in Kanievsky biography. Listen to this. Rabbi Tzvi Yabrov, a longtime chavrus of Rav Chaim and Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein, Shlita, remembers one Friday morning more than 10 years before the Rabbitson's Patira, when Rav Chaim made a quick siyum on several masachtos. The Rabbitson came in with cake and coffee for Rav Chaim and his chavrusas, as she did every Friday morning. But that day, she served Rav Chaim's coffee in an extra large glass she never used before. In front of Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, and he's a dayan, a mechaber svarim, many, many svarim, a son-in-law of Rav Chaim. In front of Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein and the others who were learning with them, she declared, listen to this, Chaim, the reason I brought in such a large glass is you deserve extra coffee today because you made a siyum. I'm so proud of you. Rav Chaim smiled and thanked her. Page 138 through 139 in the biography. Later, the Rabbitson explained to Rabbi Yabrov that she served Rav Chaim the large glass of coffee and praised him. It's very important for people to hear complimentary words from others. It is particularly incumbent upon a wife to always praise her husband. Since it is my obligation as a wife to compliment Rav Chaim, I usually do so in private. But sometimes I make a point to praise him in public. Quote, and this is why when I was reading with Victor Miller, you could see why this vignette from the Rabbitson Kanievsky biography reminded me exactly of Rav Victor Miller's teaching. Listen to the next words. Rabbitson Kanievsky added, quote, the words a wife uses to praise her husband are the most precious words she will say in her life. There is never a situation when one spouse gives another too much praise. So we're learning that it's not enough to be neutral with your words, which is one thing, you know, be neutral instead of being negative. But go beyond being neutral and be positive, because those words build up a person's spouse and your children and the people in the home. I wanted to quote something else about the Kanievskis, Zecher Tzaddik U'Muktoshim Levracha. When Rav Gedalia Nadel's daughter Henya was married, the Rebbetzin attended the chuppah at about 6 o'clock in the evening. Right after the chuppah, Rebbetzin Sira Kor Lansky noticed the Rebbetzin was heading home. Rebbetzin Kanievsky was heading home. Since the Rebbetzin had helped raise the younger Nadel children, Rebbetzin Kor Lansky asked why was she leaving the wedding so early. The answer, she was heading home. She had to prepare Rav Chaim's supper. After she served him and he finished eating, they would walk back to the wedding together. Rebbetzin Kolansky asked the Rebbetzin, how can you leave? The Nadel girl is so close to you. You spent so many years raising her. Can't you have someone else give Rav Chaim his supper? Rebbetzin Kanievsky replied, I never let anyone else serve my husband lunch or supper. It is my biggest honor in Zchus, and I must do it every day. Besides, I don't want to be the causative factor for his bittul Torah. As my husband mentioned to me, he cannot learn as well when I'm not home. After she served Rav Chaim supper, they walked back to the wedding, spending time there, and then walking back home. So you see that the Gedolim teach us so much, not only in Torah, but also in Midas Tovus, and also in Inyanei Shalom Bayis. Going back to Victor Miller, as much as possible, the wife must show appreciation for the husband. If she sees him osek in Torah, she should praise him. Anything he does, she should praise him. So this is the opposite of neutral. Use your words for the good. It doesn't mean she has to stand there like a canary all day long and sing his praises. But she should look for opportunities to say a good word. A woman must make it her business to always look for opportunities to drop a word of encouragement to her husband. Chaim. No, the Kuntros uses the name Chaim. You fixed the sink very well. It's working perfectly today. Or you're looking good today. It's all part of the great career of Merapei Lashon. We have to learn. Just like you have to work at your career. Just like you have to improve yourself and your skills in the office. Just like you have to train to be a certain profession. You have to train yourself to know how to deal with the people in your home. Because, like the Gemara says, La'ola mihe adam zahir ba'onas ishto. Shemitochshim demasa mitsuya onasa krova. Person always has to be so careful with onas dvarim and the people in your home. Not only in the storefronts, because the tears are easily found, it is very easy, chas v'sham, to transgress and cause them pain through verbal oppression. And like we learned halachically, it's not so simple to do teshuva for aveiros of dibur. The Baruch Hashem should please, Hashem, help us. Please, b'darach shadam rotzei lech b'malichin. Also, should be able to implement Shav the Chachma bin Adas, bin Yaser Nasal Isha Yoser mi Beish, Nida 45b, Chachmas Nashim Bansa Besa, Vivas Beadar Terasar, Mishleik, remember the source, and Das, Kosho Tamar Lachasar Shma Bakola, Luacha Kodeshaba. A woman has an extra degree, an extra measure of divine inspiration, an extra degree of intuition, and it is her wisdom that builds the home. Yibon Shalom should help us. So please always use our mouths, the Tova, the Vracha, the Sasson, the Simcha, and to bring Shalom to our homes, to our communities, Be'ezras Hashem. Thank you for taking the time this Monday morning to learn with us. We are learning the Zeichem, the Eluyin, Ishmas, and Tzvi Gershon, Ben Yavachan, Allah Vashon, and also Zev Wolf, Ben Yishai, Besoros Tovos, Kol Tov. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful day.